the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Josh Dunn.
And I am Aaron Wiegman. Beyond March Madness, we will be talking about some other things today here. But in our daily jobs here as advisors at Financial Sense, you know, we help people make smart choices with their money when it comes to retirement and comprehensive financial planning, investment management, and then, of course, risk management too. So probably one of the lesser exciting things, but it is a core component in someone's overall financial plan. So one of the most important components of risk management during your working years is that you want to make sure that you have the proper disability income coverage, just in case you wind up getting sick or injured, and then you don't have a paycheck anymore.
We did a podcast, you and I, last year in September, talking about, you know, some of the biggest myths and facts about life insurance specifically. So we talked a lot about life insurance, what it is, how much you need, you know, how to have some of those conversations with a life agent. But we didn't talk about disability. And the fact of the matter is, I mean, both are really important. In fact, both are necessary. You need adequate life insurance, and you also need adequate disability insurance, because we're insuring two separate things. And that's kind of what we're going to get into today, is the second half of that conversation, which is the disability side. You know, what if I become ill or injured and I'm no longer able to, you know, work in my current occupation or any occupation for that matter, right? And second fold, you know, we've also been dealing with a couple of recent client situations where this has come up. And, you know, the conversation has been a tremendous value to the client on the other end, helping them understand why, you know, a disability plan is to their benefit and is actually going to protect those paychecks that are coming in, especially for individuals who might be self-employed. You know, they run their own business. Maybe they don't have access to a disability policy through their current employer because, again, they're self-employed. They don't have those benefits set up, right? So there's a number of different situations where, you know, disability insurance is even more necessary, but it is something that everyone should consider. And so we'll get into some of those today.
Well, people don't necessarily like spending their money on insurance in general. Regardless of how necessary it is one of those kind of mental blocks where you're like, well, what am I really going to get out of this?
And this is a big misconception. You know, I think most people tend to think of their largest asset as either their home or their financial asset, you know, being their 401k. But if we take a different approach, I mean, you could argue that somebody's income potential is actually their largest asset. And so, you know, how you typically have home insurance, which is protecting the value of one of your largest assets. And in a 401k, you know, you don't necessarily have insurance on that, but you are investing in certain things. And ideally, those are growing at a certain rate of return. But in terms of income, most people are significantly underinsured. You know, in fact, there's a statistic that, you know, one out of four people are going to become disabled during their working life. So the risk of becoming disabled is actually much higher than, you know, mortality, possibly dying during your working years. So life insurance is incredibly important. And we referenced that in our September podcast, which we'll link in the podcast notes here. But, you know, disability insurance is actually equally important because the probabilities of becoming disabled are that much higher too. In fact, you know, nowadays, you know, there's a statistic that came out of a 2020 study done by the Insurance Barometer Study. They were looking at, you know, how many people would be able to be financially okay if somebody in the family became disabled. And what they found as a result of that study is that about 63% of working Americans, you know, would start to have financial difficulties after 6 months. So that time period is very short, you know, in terms of people's short-term savings, liquidity that might be able to serve in the interim, you know, to cover possible medical expenses, things like that. But in addition, they also found that study that, you know, about 14% of people in that survey thought that they would have immediate financial difficulties if, you know, that breadwinner was to become disabled or injured and was unable to work. So, you know, I don't need it is a common answer that I think a lot of people give, you know, when this topic is brought up. But for most individuals, it is most certainly a need, and it's a common misconception.
make that point even more, when you wind up looking at, you know, let's extrapolate out someone's income. If they're 35 years old, they're going to be working for another 30 years. They're making $100,000 right now. I mean, we're talking about $3 million of lost income with not even taking inflation into consideration. Mm-hmm. So that's $3 million. And you're right. That is your ability to make money for the family. That is going to be your biggest asset, most likely.
And then you also factor in, I mean, the retirement savings that will be lost right. If that income goes away. You're also factoring in, you know, when we say earnings potential, you also have to factor in raises. You know, you're going to, if you're early in your career, you're probably going to move up the chain, you know, in a corporation. You're going to continue to get promotions and increase your earnings over time too. So even more important, you know, if you are skilled and you have a solid education, you have certifications, you're a well-qualified working candidate, you know, there's a lot of earnings potential that will be taken off the table if you become injured or ill.
And I'm guessing if there is like some sort of a disability, that it's not necessarily going to be less expensive of a lifestyle.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, health expenses and so on don't necessarily make things cheaper for mm-hmm. a family. Right. So just making sure that you have that paycheck or some sort of paycheck that's going to make your family comfortable, that makes a heck of a lot of sense. The second thing would wind up being, okay, that's nice and all, Josh, but what am I going to pay for this stuff? That sounds great. I'd love to have it. And I guess that's one of those things that you kind of have to look at with each client situation. How do we wind up budgeting this in where it winds up making sense for you? So how does that work when it comes to like the cost of disability insurance?
Yeah, I think one of the main reservations that people have when determining if they need disability insurance is often the cost. You know, it's too expensive for me. I don't want to spend extra money to get this. I can't afford it, right? And that is a misconception because, I mean, of course, cost will vary, you know, depending on the benefit coverage amount, and, you know, how much we're looking to insure someone for, your occupation. So, of course, you know, costs are going to depend. If you are in a line of work such as, you know, a surgeon versus maybe a computer software engineer, health status, of course, is going to be a factor, your age, and then maybe even the terms of the policy. You know, are we insuring for a long period of time or is it just for a year? You know, this policy may pay out. So those types of things are certainly going to vary in terms of cost of the policy. But in general, you know, as a general rule of thumb, insurance in this way, shape, and form should typically cost anywhere from 1-3% of your annual income. And I guess a way to think about that is, you know, would you rather have, you know, if you were making $100,000 of after-tax income, you know, would you rather have $97,000 and have that mostly insured, you know, 2/3 of that benefit insured? Or would you rather, you know, continue taking home that $100,000 and then potentially lose it all if you're unable to work, you know? So that cost of insurance can certainly pay dividends. It just is normally around 1-3%, you know, of that annual income. That's kind of the target.
Yeah, I guess it's one of those things like when you wind up looking at insurance, it's a thing you don't want to spend money on, but you're really glad you have it if you need it.
Right.
So when you look at that rule of thumb, that's a good place to at least like kind of ballpark things, right? Of course, that could be more or less depending on the coverage, the occupation, you know, things of that sort. But that like that 3% rule, that winds up being like a pretty good ballpark for that. You know, I guess, you know, a lot of people when they're looking at it, they say, well, don't I already have some sort of coverage from work? Shouldn't that be enough?
This is another reservation that a lot of clients tend to have, and rightfully so. I mean, they, you know, maybe sign up for a new job and they're looking through their employer benefits package and they're like, oh, great. My employer provides disability insurance. I guess I'm covered. I don't need anything else. Well, usually employer-sponsored coverage is insufficient. You know, they will only cover a portion of that lost income if you were to become disabled. And, you know, most of those policies, you know, the benefits may make you financially okay, but it certainly will not replace all of the lost income. And that's where, you know, supplemental disability insurance might be, you know, a need for a person like that, you know. The other thing to consider, though, too, you know, is with any type of employer-provided insurance, it's not portable. So if you're changing jobs every 2-3 years, you know, which is very common nowadays. You lose that coverage when you leave, or if you're terminated from, you know, that job. So having something you can take with you, you know, maybe even a policy that you own outright, is much more attractive if you're looking to actually insure and have some stability around that type of insurance, right? And I guess the last part of that is, you know, Social Security disability insurance provided through the government is there if you need it, but more oftentimes it's going to be really hard to apply for, and it's also going to be quite insufficient as well, you know, in covering lost income if you become disabled. In fact, there was a study done in 2020, you know, 65% of applications for Social Security disability insurance were actually denied, and the average benefits paid out in that study were, you know, around $1,200 a month, which, you know, if you don't have any other income, that puts you just below the poverty line.
Yeah. And so I think that's a big point. When you talk about workplace disability, that's probably coordinated with Social Security in some fashion. So if you're kind of depending on that Social Security definition of disability, right, which basically says that you can't do anything work-wise, and you're, you know, the numbers that you just quoted of 65% of applicants were denied. One of the reasons why your group disability is so cheap is because they tend to not pay out all that much, or they really want you to get on that disability coverage so that they don't wind up having to pay out as much. So if you want to be dependent on all of that, that's the kind of coverage it is that you have at work many times. Some other policies are much better. They'll have, you know, more of an like a modified kind of a definition there, but just pay attention to that. And I guess like how that winds up coordinating in working with some higher income clients or clients that have, you know, a certain amount of base income, but then there winds up being bonuses and commissions or things like that on top. A lot of times your benefits is really only based on the salary itself and a percentage of that salary. So you have someone who might have a $100,000 salary, their disability benefits are based on 60% of whatever that salary is, but then they have discretionary income, commissionable income, something like that. Maybe it's like double whatever that income is, but their work disability policy doesn't cover that. So that's where you would want to look at some sort of a supplemental policy to kind of fill that gap.
Exactly right.
So as we wind up looking at disability insurance, is it worth it?
It is most certainly worth it. And I think a better question is, you know, who is disability insurance for? You know, who does this benefit the most? Ideally, you know, in the case that we've been working on recently with a client of our own is, you know, for the self-employed individuals who maybe don't have any disability insurance, period.
Yeah.
You know, this represents, I guess, the you know, some of those higher risk cases because, you know, self-employment, you know, for people that are self-employed, they're putting a lot of their income on the line if something is to happen, if they become ill, injured, and they're unable to work, you know, especially if they're the sole breadwinner too. So if you don't have any other income coming, you know, into the home, that's certainly a big risk of losing that, right? We talked in our in our life insurance podcast about a money printing machine. You know, you certainly would want to insure the only money printing machine in the house, especially if they're self-employed and you don't have any type of insurance whatsoever, whether life insurance protecting against unexpected death, or disability insurance, which might be more likely throughout someone's lifetime. So, you know, that's certainly a situation that you would want to consider. I guess also, you know, in terms of people that may want to review, ideally it's good to, you know, if you do have an existing disability insurance policy, it's good to review that once a year. And it's good to review just your total coverage, you know, making sure that, am I actually set up to replace the amount of income that I may need. And, you know, some certain situations, you know, life changes can certainly change that, you know, getting a new job, getting a raise, you know, moving up in a company, possibly getting married. Now you have dependents and higher costs that you may have to replace.
You mean the old, how much more responsible do I want to be right
now? Right. The more responsibility you get, ideally you're going to need to.
The safer you tend to wind up getting with this kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So it is very much worth it, and it should be a part of everyone's insurance conversation. And we spend a lot of time, you know, insuring our cars, insuring our property. You know, sometimes we look over the disability piece and the life insurance piece. So these are very important things that we should be reviewing, you know, as part of our entire insurance conversation.
Right. We put a lot of time and effort into the how much we're paying for our auto insurance and our home insurance, maybe on a regular basis. But then you look at the value of that versus your income coming in the door.
Right.
And whether or not that's going to stop from an injury or a sickness or, you know, a death, you probably want to shore that part up.
Right.
When it comes down to it, how much disability insurance do I need? Right. Do I need to cover everything? I guess, you know, hit on that a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good question. And this is a question, of course, that kind of starts the conversation with, you know, a lot of clients that come to us needing this sort of thing. So you sort of touched on a little bit, but, you know, we need to consider all forms of income. So if you're a self-employed individual who maybe receives commissions and self-employment income, you know, in the form of wages to yourself through your business, pass-through income, you need to consider all income. If your spouse is also working, you know, you need to factor that in as well. There might be two different needs of disability insurance. Net income, we already talked about from, you know, from self-employed type ventures, bonuses, tips, wages, anything like that should be considered. And then, you know, the risk is really how much of that would you be okay with losing, and how much might you need to cover ongoing expenses?
Right.
So I guess, you know, kind of like defining a floor for yourself, that might be part of the conversation, is what's the minimum amount of disability insurance coverage that I may need if, you know, if I'm not able to work. And then you also have to factor on top of that, well, if I'm just covering my expenses, well, what about retirement contributions and saving for retirement if I'm unable to work? What about saving for college goals? What about, you know, paying obligations? If I just took out a new mortgage on a house I just purchased, you know, will I need extra income to be able to continue to pay for those obligations? Those are all things that need to be considered in determining, you know, how much disability insurance you might need.
Gotcha. And I guess the other part is, like, if you are self-employed, I just want to bring up this point too, is that a lot of times with self-employed folks, they tend to write off as much as they can, right?
Right.
And so when it does come to disability insurance, you might say, you know, I'm making, here's $100,000, but then at the end of the day, your taxes look like you're making $12,000. Well, the disability company is going to base what your benefit is off that $12,000.
Right.
Or somewhere in between, so where they can see like legitimate, you know, things, but it just winds up making it that much harder to go ahead and like qualify for a larger number. So I can say you get one of two things. You can either write it all off or you can qualify for the disability, but you're not, it's going to be a hard thing to get both of those things, right? Mm-hmm.
It is. Yeah. And I guess one other thing to add there too is, you know, there are two primary different types of disability insurance. You're going to have your short-term, which is most commonly probably going to be provided through, you know, your employer benefits package. And this is going to cover income lost anywhere from, you know, 3 to 6 months. And then you have your long-term disability. This, I think, is what most people probably don't have and what they may need more often than not. And this is going to replace income that might be lost, you know, anywhere from a year onward to retirement. So, you know, of course, the cost of long-term disability is certainly going to depend on what time period we are insuring that for. You know, is it just for a year that we're betting on? And then, you know, we're hoping that we'll be recovered from our illness after a year and able to work again and get back into the labor market. Or, you know, is this something that may put us out, you know, up and through retirement, and we want a policy that's going to protect us for that. So, you know, those are two, I think, very important things to keep note of is, you know, what type of insurance are we ideally looking for, and what's going to benefit us? You know, what do we need?
So it's not like it's a one size fits all kind of thing for everybody.
Certainly not. No, it's going to depend on, you know, mostly the people's income and, you know, what type of, you know, risks that we're trying to cover. cover sure. our bases. Yeah.
So we could cover everything, but in many times it winds up being that let's try and fit something in that winds up making sense. So if it's just a policy that that works for you today, maybe you wind up changing jobs in the future. You have some flexibility, your work benefits wind up changing because you change jobs. It's nice to have something that you can fall back on, just as a backstop.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So when it comes down to it, I guess, you know, there's different types of disability and we kind of touched on that already, but could you kind of define for us, I guess, a part of the cost that comes in is the definition of disability and how that works. Could you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah. So within the short and long-term disability, those are kind of the benefit periods. Now, I guess we're getting into the types of disability. So the way that disability works is they look at, you know, what are we covering in terms of risk? Is it covering your ability to not work if you are unable to do your own occupation? If you're a doctor and you are unable to continue working as a doctor, you know, that might be what's considered own occupation. You're unable to perform the job that you had when you became disabled, right? And then there's secondarily the any occupation, which is I can't perform any job at all. I'm completely and totally disabled. And so those are kind of the two different types of disability insurance that we're talking about here. Obviously, the own occupation is going to be the most generous definition. If you are a surgeon, for example, and you suffer maybe a hand injury, you know, you need your hands for your daily work and you're paid ideally a lot of money for surgeries and your ability to use your hands for the work that you're doing to save people's lives. So if something happens, you're in an accident and you're unable to use those hands, or maybe, you now have shaky hands and you're unable to do surgeries, you know, a policy that is an own occupation may pay out for you. Even though you can do other jobs, you can't do your own occupation in which you became disabled. And that's, you know, where it can become the most generous type. Now, with any type of own occupation, those certainly will be more costly. So, you know, the chances of a doctor unable to use their arms or hands in that specific type fashion is probably higher than being disabled to do any occupation, right? So, of course, the premiums on an own occupation are typically going to be higher than your any occupation type policy.
And a part of that would be, you know, whether or not they would pay out if you can't do that own occupation. If you can't do surgery, you can still go ahead and teach.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So that the more definition around that own occupation, you can actually like look at that and say, like, I can get my benefit because I can't do surgery. And then I can still go and work at another occupation and get money there.
And, to your point, what you mentioned earlier, you know, most employer provided disability insurance coverage will be kind of more in that any occupation definition, which is why it's typically cheaper. So what is the right type of disability insurance? I guess, like we had talked about previously, there is no one size fits all. So, you know, if you are, you know, maybe a computer engineer, maybe an any occupation policy makes a little bit more sense because, you know, the work that you're doing, you know, isn't as physically intensive. Right.
Or it could be like a modified own occupation definition where it does, you can't necessarily work in another occupation, but they're going to pay out if you can't do the material duties that you're qualified for.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. So I guess, you know, like around that definition side, it's more of if you've gone through the hard work and effort of getting to a certain level of professionalism, that's worth a lot. And I guess that's the part of ensuring what your income is and what your profession is just making sure that you're putting the right investment in ensuring that kind of an income going forward.
And that's ideally where own occupation is going to protect you the most.
So I guess I think I want some sort of disability insurance. How do I apply all those types of things?
Yep. Right. Well,
what about the employer policy?
Sure. If you're working for a company that has, you know, the robust benefits and offers you some type of, you know, employer-sponsored disability insurance, you're probably already going to have it. It's going to be automatically given to you. And the beauty about this is, you know, there's no underwriting required to acquire that insurance. So, you know, you could have poor health and ideally still be, you know, a part of a group disability insurance policy. And, you know, they're going to utilize risk pooling. So that's why they don't necessarily need to go through the medical examinations and underwriting. And oftentimes this is going to be, you know, kind of the cheapest way to obtain disability insurance because it's often paid through your employer. And if it's a voluntary benefit, you know, then you might pay not necessarily out of pocket, but you'll have, you know, deductions from your paycheck to get that coverage.
Okay. So hit on that for a second, right? Because I sometimes people with their employer benefits, they have the choice of getting taxed for the premium or not. And it just winds being employer paid. So what's the difference?
Well, I guess the big advantage, you know, if you have your employer paying for your disability premiums, and let's say that you file a claim, you become disabled or ill, and you need to withdraw from that benefit, you need to start taking disability insurance to replace lost income. Well, that income that you receive from the disability insurance company is actually going to be taxable income to you.
Okay. So that's the biggest thing. If the employer pays for it, it's going to be taxable benefits. But if I pay for it and I wind up being taxed on that benefit, then it winds up being tax-free.
Correct.
Okay.
So that's the big distinction. Now, you know, working there's the employer provided disability insurance, and then there's, you know, getting your own supplemental insurance outside of your employer's network, you know, maybe working with a disability agent or a life agent like myself or like you, Aaron. So, you know, if you're getting insurance elsewhere and you are paying out of pocket for those premiums, then any benefits come to you tax-free should you need it. So this tends to be one of the better ways to get disability insurance because it offers you the most flexibility and it allows you to get the exact amount of coverage that you actually need. So, you know, in working with an agent like one of us two, we're able to determine specifically, you know, what's the right type. We talked about own versus any occupation. How much do I need? You know, we can certainly dial that amount to the client's exact specifications and needs. And should there be, you know, a disability or an illness down the road, well, then that benefit will be tax-free to the individual. And that's kind of the best of both worlds.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, with that, depending on how much it is that you're applying for, there's different requirements as far as like the underwriting and the medical requirements. So a lot of companies, if you are applying for less than a certain dollar amount, there won't be any sort of like physical medical examination or anything like that. It's kind of like the no medical requirements, but they will wind up looking at your medical history, right? So it really just kind of depends on what kind and how much it is that we're looking for in coverage. But yeah, like you said, I think one of the pitfalls is especially working with business owners who want to write off everything. I always caution them. I just say like, I'm just going to tell you what these rules are around the taxable versus tax-free benefit. If you do wind up writing this off, you run into trouble. If you do wind up taking that benefit, that could be deemed a taxable benefit to you, you know, at that point in time. So just caution on how you wind up writing things off and don't be too aggressive with that kind of stuff.
Right.
Because I guess the biggest thing is that if you do, it's a small premium for a big benefit. And I'd rather have that big benefit be tax-free to me.
Right. Absolutely. Are there any other pitfalls or things that, you know, you see on your side of things that I'm missing or haven't touched on?
You know, I think as you look at disability insurance, just kind of in the grand scheme of your overall financial plan, I think the biggest thing to hit home is the fact that you are that money-making machine, right? And things change, jobs change, and it may not be something that you necessarily want to spend time or money on, but it is important to have a plan, at least like a baseline of income that's going to be able to like cover your family. So like we had alluded to before, it may not be like the whole amount that you're trying to cover, and maybe it is. You know, I guess I've worked with different doctors or surgeons that dentists that they know that because of their profession, they've seen people go out on disability and they understand how important it is. And when you're doing that for that long of a period of time where you're in school and then there's residency and fellowship, and then finally you're making the money, you want to make sure that that ability to make money is going to be there because of the time and effort and money that you've put into that career already.
Right.
So I guess that's the kind, if I'm going to leave you with anything, you know, just like look at your profession and just like understand how important your ability to make money is to your overall financial health and your financial plan, and see how you can incorporate some sort of a strategy that makes sense to you and your family.
I guess just to tack on to that, you know, insurance tends to be one of the things that I think most people consider last. And that should probably be one of the things that's considered first. You know, if you're looking to build wealth or you're looking to protect wealth that you've already built, ensuring your income in order to continue building wealth should be, you know, one of your number one priorities.
It's a core building block to someone's sound financial plan to make sure that they have that covered.
You'll certainly be working against yourself if you are uninsured, you don't have the protection, and you're still trying to build wealth. And now you're one of four people that ends up having, you know, a once in a lifetime event that leaves you ill or injured, and you're unable to work in the capacity that you were before. So this is certainly a very important thing that I think tends to be taken care of last on the priority list, when it probably should be one of the first things that you end up doing, especially because, you know, you've put in the hours in school, you've put in the time getting the certifications, you've put in a lot of the work to become the qualified professional that you are, you know, in your working career. You need the right protection.
Well, I think we've hit that home pretty well. And of course, we've covered a lot of stuff. We've got a little bit deep into the disability insurance here today, amongst many other topics that Josh and I could cover for you and answer questions for you and your individual financial situation. So if you do have questions about disability insurance in particular, or financial planning, your retirement plan, or just overall investment management, reach out to Josh and I and let us know how we might be able to help you out. Josh, how does someone get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can reach me on my direct line. That's probably the easiest way to reach me. It's 858-217-8137. Or they can shoot me an email at josh.nunn, N-U-N-N, at financialsense.com. And Aaron, why don't you plug your direct line and email too? You know, we are both fully licensed life and health agents, you know, so we can certainly help individuals with this conversation. It doesn't need to be through us, but we can at least certainly have that conversation and help clients, you know, understand what type of coverage they may need, or, you know, what are some of the opportunities or weak points that we can help clients understand better too.
Certainly. If you have any questions for me, you can always reach me directly at 858-217-8135, or my email is aaron.wiegman, that's W-I-E-G-M-A-N, at financialsense.com.
Well, with that in mind, we're out of time. Until Lifetime Planning returns, we'll see you next time.
Thanks much.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.